Blog Talk Radio.
You're not tuned into the Kings of the 7 o'clock spot for Home Field Advantage Sports Talk, where our motto is our home, our field, your advantage. You better take advantage. And, of course, their intro music is brought to you by City Boy South. That's CIDDYBOYSOUTH.com.
You was a little flat on that last note.
You know what? I don't know what's been going on. I've really been practicing. I'm just going to stick to sports. But let's go ahead and talk about what just happened on Monday night. Of course, Monday night, the Duke Blue Devils came back being down by 9 points and beat Wisconsin. But, of course, we know what happened before the championship, where it was a conference with Adrian Harrison with pretty much the Kentucky Wildcats, and we all know what he did. He mumbled something that he thought he mumbled, and everybody heard it. And we're going to talk about that tonight. We're also going to jump into talking about sportsmanship, how we feel about it. Is it overrated? We're going to take it from there. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. We're going to jump in with some Stephen A. Smith. But before we get started, let me give you the number. That's 347-215-9490. That's 347-215-9490. So we're seeing what happened. We know what he mumbled. Let's just go ahead and jump in and talk about sportsmanship. Do you think it's underrated? Do you think it's a big deal? Like, what is everybody's opinion on it?
I think sportsmanship kind of has hypocrisy involved with it. And what I mean by that is, as a society, we expect for people to go out and battle each other and compete against each other. And sometimes when you compete against people, you don't like them, or you don't like that they're standing in the way of your goal. So it's kind of hard to say, I want to be chummy with this person. You know, to me, when I have played in like real games or meaningful games, I'm the ultimate competitor. I compete at, matter of fact, not just in sports, I compete in a lot of stuff. I'm just a natural competitor, so I don't always like the people that stand in front of me, or even my teammates, or people I have to deal with. If I feel like you're stopping me as an individual to attain my goal, I have a problem with that. So I think it's just it's slight hypocrisy when it comes to sportsmanship.
I think with sportsmanship, it's to the point where everybody want to just, you can say, tag it everywhere. When it comes to sportsmanship, especially like, and this is not everybody rec center, but I know how a lot of these rec centers where they start off with the youth, they real young, you pay your fee, and it's like win or lose, you're going to walk away with a championship, like with a trophy, saying that you participated, you did good. Of course, they'll tell you, you know, when the game over, you shake hands, yada, yada, yada. And then you get older. Like, you get older, and you need – it's like the older you get, the more competitive you're supposed to be.
Bam.
So it's like you – so it's like you don't – it's like you don't even supposed to like the other team, like you said earlier. You don't supposed to like – you really don't supposed to like the other team at that time until you get finished. At least that's what they say. And it's like when you don't shake hands at the end of the game and stuff like that, that's when they, you know, okay, we can throw out sore loser. But you got people saying, oh, that's unsportsmanlike conduct. And then you have another situation with sportsmanship where you have perfect example. Like, this has been going on the past couple of years. You got that one high school that blow out this team 135-25 points. And they saying, oh, something should happen to the coach. Because that's unsportsmanlike. He should have took his starters out. And someone take their starters out. They just being the brace off team. And they say, oh, that's unsportsmanlike conduct. But if you go to the college level, if you got UGA going against Georgia Southern, and they don't blow out Georgia Southern, what they going to say? Oh, they're going to drop in the ranking.
Yeah. That's
so I think it's – I hate to say this. I think it's levels of sportsmanship, but that's what it seemed like. Either it's not levels and people just put it in that position. I just and I guess in all, I think it's a bunch of bull. Sorry. that's me.
Man, I never thought about that when you're taught to not blow out the other team when you're younger, but when you get older, not blowing out the other team can really damage you and your rankings and your team. I never thought about that.
And see, the household that I was raised in, I can't think of the word my dad used to say all the time. But my cousins used to come over, be me and Fred. Fred was like maybe about 2-3 years under me. We play video games. Usually we play NBA Jam. And what happened is I'm blowing Fred out 20-30 points. And Fred be like, man, you know, let's trade controllers. And we trade controllers. And then as time go on, I'm blowing them out with the other team, 20-30 points. And I switch again. It was more of a challenge for me because he won the challenge.
Right.
It was like, can I catch up with the other team? My dad didn't like that. It was a word he used to say that I can't think of right now. But he said, when you play somebody, you beat them and whatever that word was. And he used to always say, like, y'all
handedly.
No, it was another word. I want to say it started with a D. I can't remember right now, but I know his thing was,
you beat that D.
No.
But
never have a talk with your father.
Talk with your father.
No, oh my God, no, please don't. No, don't do this to me. No, every time I do this, you do this.
But his point was, like, I think a lot of people heard me say this on the show when I say they beat the emergency brakes off of somebody. I get that from my father. That's where I heard it from. But he was a type. Oh, no, he didn't like that. So I don't know. Maybe was I raised not being a good sportsman?
I'm not going to lie. When I got onto the radio show, I was very ready to talk about how kids need to learn sportsmanship. But the more and more I think about it, sportsmanship is really overrated.
Yeah.
It's really overrated. And I think it's become perfunctory. SAT word for it. It's become very just that thing you do. It's like you don't mean it, but you shake hands. You don't mean it, but you help the other player up. It's like
being fake.
That's just what I was told to do. I was told to help you up. but they don't really know what sportsmanship is. And I think sportsmanship has way more to do with respect. And in my opinion, you really don't respect nobody if you don't have no idea why you're shaking their hand. But that's just my opinion. To be honest, I really think you should rather teach your child not to be a sore loser.
Right.
Because I don't think being a sore loser exactly contradicts sportsmanship.
Harrison family.
is just don't be a sore loser. You can do whatever else you want to do on the court because, I mean, think about it. Sportsmanship is rooted in fair play. How is flopping fair play? But your kid's going to learn how to flop
because right.
their favorite player flops.
Hmm. Why you always got to talk about LeBron, man?
Oh, I didn't know he was synonymous. What's that guy?
I'm joking.
What's that guy? Mr. Cramps. Nah. He cramps up at pivotal times during games.
At least he's out there. Wade ain't out there.
Yeah, this is true.
Wade, like, come on my 30-minute break.
It's, I don't know. It's like your child's going to learn these bending the rules type play from other athletes. So sportsmanship, it really kind of just, it's just, it don't even mean the same that it used to mean anymore. At this point, you're shaking hands just because.
This is the problem with sportsmanship. You know, we, like you were saying earlier about, you know, we teach it or whatever. And as you climb, it has to be a competition because when you're a high school kid, you want to be ranked, you know, top 10 in the country or, you know, whatnot. The way you get to be ranked top 10 in the country is to go out there and put some boots to some behinds
That's
out there
right.
on the court or field or whatnot. That's
yeah.
how you do it. It's not going out there being the nicest guy in the world, you know. We have to understand that it's not like a gladiator sport where like someone has to die, but we have to understand that it's like a battle. You know, I remember years ago when people got on Kellen Winslow Jr. because he said, you know, it's a war out there. I'm an effing soldier. And this is so hypocritical of the media and of us as people because we always compare sports to war, always. But at that time when he said it, I think that's when we went over into Afghanistan. So what, he's not supposed to keep that same mentality. No, they went out there, Miami lost. He was pissed because he knew they was a better team and he
right.
gave his all. And he said, I feel like I'm a effing soldier. This is war. And we lost. So you can't turn that off and on. And you know what? Even though he didn't have the best NFL career, he made it to the pinnacle.
Right.
You know, that's
yeah.
your ultimate goal is to make it to the top of your profession or passion. He did not get there by being the nicest guy in the world.
A lot of people didn't.
A lot of people. You know,
right.
everybody praised Michael Jordan. You know, you'll go out there and buy his shoes, but you won't go buy something from a up-and-coming department store or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, regardless of what. He is the nastiest, you know, most arrogant-type person that you can be around from the stories that have came out about him.
Right.
And also, I've heard plenty of athletes say, Michael Jordan should be glad that social media was not around when he was climbing the ladder.
You ain't never lied.
Yeah. And that's interesting because I know when you were saying that the kids grow up watching these kids, and then you mentioned Michael Jordan, and that's why I'm sitting here like, what great? How many greats out there that we consider great had good sportsmanship?
I don't think any of them did.
Exactly.
That's not classic. Because
you
got to
be nasty. But is he?
He had to go play with a beast in Hakeem Olajuwon to achieve his ultimate goal.
Yeah.
David Robinson, the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
He had to go play with somebody who had some heart.
And
Tim Duncan.
Right.
We know what happened with David Robinson when he was too nice. He got that elbow for Carmelo.
Man, I ain't never seen a man fall asleep while they standing up.
You know what? Carl Malone took out a lot
he
of
like a tree.
Didn't Carl Malone take out Isaiah Thomas too?
Yeah, Isaiah had to get like 30 stitches.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, when we think of greats, how many of them had sportsmanship? It's like you get on that court, like you said, when you competing. And these kids been competing for years.
Mm-hmm.
What we talking about, it started when they played rec ball. Yeah, you signed, your parents signed you up, whatever the case is, but you competing for a starting spot.
Yeah.
When it hit seven, well, I think Fulton County did seventh grade, eighth grade. But anyway, once you get in that middle school phase, you're trying out. You got to compete double time. You got to compete to get a spot on the roster. Then you got to compete to start. And in high school, it's the same old thing. It's like, I used to say all the time, high school. It's like you got all these people representing their hood. And it's like, I know that sounds ghetto, but I mean, that's what it kind of seemed like. And everybody's trying to get a spot.
I can honestly sit here and tell you every level of baseball and basketball that I ever played, you know, little league all the way up, I was probably not the easiest teammate to get along with. I wasn't nasty, but first of all, I didn't talk to a lot of people. And the reason was because you were my direct competition, because I have a supreme paranoia about sitting on someone's bench.
Yeah,
whether it's basketball or baseball, I was not going to be sitting on anybody's bench. So don't talk to me. Don't try to be my friend. Don't try to be my buddy. I never liked any of that. I had a couple people that I talked to. Everybody else, it was always silent. Don't talk to me.
And I had people that were that felt that way towards me. They liked me when I was like, when we was in middle school and we played middle school football.
Mm-hmm.
They hung out with me and they liked me all when we was off the field. But on the field, it was a different level because they were like, oh, he's just nasty. Because when I came out on that field, automatic, they was like, oh, we put him at cornerback. And if anybody knows Rashad, they ain't tackling nobody. But I'm not finna ride the Oak either. That's just how I was. If I seen a weakness, and anybody that was starting, your position was mine. I started out playing defense end, and y'all know how big I am. And they're like, oh, he's just nasty. He's taking people position. I'm not riding the
yeah.
Sorry.
I feel like for me, whether it was basketball or baseball, I always felt as if friendship and buddy-buddy was a weakness. And I want to win. You know, I remember when I was in the 11th grade, I remember I played on the worst team in my high school's history, probably. And we won one game, and that one game we won was by default. And I was so pissed every day that year. Like, every time we played, I was pissed. And I didn't – even my friends on the team, like I said, I only had like two or three. I didn't even talk to them because all you want to do is laugh and play. You don't want to practice hard. See, I wasn't someone that went out. I didn't like the weight room, whether I played basketball or baseball. But you know what? You can count on me in the games. I practiced. I didn't like the weight room. I ain't going to sit here and be like Allen Iverson, like, practice. I just didn't like going in the weight room. Now, I was like that in the weight room. That's the only time you would catch me socializing with my teammates, in the weight room. Because they covering up the coaches from seeing me not doing nothing. That's it. Other than that, we was out on the field. I don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like you good enough to be on your team, but I don't want I didn't like the other team. I remember I grew up with a guy that went and we played against Douglas one day. I grew up with someone, and he came up to me, "Hey, Marlon, how you doing, brother?" I just shook his hand. I didn't say hi or nothing. I just shook his hand.
Yeah,
I talked to him after the game. I tell him I was in my zone. I don't talk to me.
Yeah,
you know.
It's Wow, it's just really interesting to hear you guys say that because now it makes me think, when you talk about players now, what was LeBron's biggest flaw for so many years?
Being everybody's friend.
Oh, yeah, that too. But they say he ain't have a killer instinct. I don't think having a killer instinct is sportsmanship by the technicality of the...
But see, I disagree with that. I think that he had a killer instinct. I just think that LeBron... His biggest problem is that he overthought a situation. He's someone that would say, let me find someone on the court that can take the best shot, as opposed to him saying, I am the best player. I am the one that it don't matter. If three people jumping at me, I can take this shot and hit. He just always went with the percentages. That was his fault.
Okay. I mean, I'm not debating that. To be honest, I don't care. He got one now. But, but you know, a killer instinct to me, that doesn't sound like, you know, like sportsmanship. What do they tell people? Step on their necks. Finish them off. None of that sounds like killer instinct, but the higher you go, the more you need it. The more you need to be able to have that edge to close the games. Like I said, my only problem is once it's all over with, Marlon just said it. He wouldn't talk to his friends before the game, but as soon as the game is over with, we cool. I can come shake your hand. Everything's okay. You know, that's my thing. Can you take all of the sports, sit it to the side when you're done, and be able to respect your opponent?
Well, see, with Kentucky, when they didn't shake hands, they was they were sore losers, but they was embarrassed. They didn't think they could lose. And I know me and Mike talked about this earlier the week when we talked about the night we're not cutting down the nets.
Oh yeah.
So when it comes down to we're not cutting down the nets. And you remember you was like, they shouldn't have did that because they cheating, you know, they cheating another. Well, go ahead and explain it.
Well, what I was saying was I knew something. It didn't make me feel good that Kentucky decided at the SEC championship to not cut down the nets. They said that they had better nets to cut down. And I thought that as a team, that just sounds like something that the starters would say, the Cauley Steins, the Towns, you know, the Harrison twins, because they know where they're going after this.
FYI, Harrison twins, you guys should stay in school.
Yep. Oh, my God, yes.
Ew. Stay twice.
Yeah. Fully. But what about those players that's like the 12th man, the guys that really don't get off the bench and who this is it for them?
Right.
They may want that net.
I agree with you, but I think that's on a program-by-program basis because most kids that come into, especially college college basketball, they don't give a crap about they may care about the tournament, but they're not, you know, like if they lose, they know where their mind is at anyway. Mm-hmm. This is just a bump in the road to their ultimate goal.
Yes and no. I think there's two different kinds. There's the kind of athlete that know that they're going to the league. We know that more than 78% of people in college do not go to the league.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a whole other group that's on that same team that don't have that aspiration. This is it. And I know I'm going to be this awesome college basketball player, and I'm not going to make it in the league.
Well, yeah, I agree with you, but that's what I'm saying. That's why I said it goes by team basis, because you look at Kentucky, they already thinking. They're
seven deep, but what about those guys that's way lower on there? Like, for example, Duke, the guy Grayson, you know, I hope he don't come out. But Grayson, to me, I don't see it in the league. I don't see him being able to cut it. It looks like if he does come, he's just going to be this chronicle D-leaguer. So that
– Will Avery.
Ooh, gosh, stinks. But when you are able to cut down those nets and you able to show your children, like, look, this is, you know, this is what I got. This is what your dad
did. I got
did.
A piece of this net.
I mean, I think that's an awesome thing. I think that more than likely those Kentucky players, some of those ones that were riding the bench a little longer, I think that they may be a little salty that they don't have a piece of that SEC net.
Well, I kind of feel like regardless of where you're going, you should just cut the nets, period. That's just me. I mean, they're not the first team that said we don't want no nets. You know, I told you before, 94-95, UNC, same thing. We don't want no nets. They said it. We don't want no nets. We want no nets in, I forgot where the Final Four was. But we don't want no nets. Right after the
Apparella.
Apparella.
Yeah, that wasn't it. That's where it was at.
Oh, but they were saying they ain't want them this. And they, matter of fact, they beat Kentucky. to get in the Final Four.
Mm. And who did they lose to?
They lost to Arkansas.
So Arkansas beat North Carolina and Duke back to back?
It was Arkansas. The Final Four was Arkansas, UCLA, Oklahoma State, and UNC.
No, I'm saying because I know Arkansas won back-to-back championships, so they beat Duke 1 year and North Carolina the next year, or vice versa, whatever.
They beat – no. They lost that one to UCLA.
I thought they got two – they went.
No, they went back-to-back championships, but they ain't win. They only won one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they only won one because they got beat with UCLA that year. But I remember that Final Four because, you know, everybody going crazy about Brian Reeves, Big Country, and – I can't think of the other guy's name. Last name Rhodes. I mean Rhodes. Can't think of his first name. But
Carl Rhodes, I think, something like that.
Yeah, but yeah, 94-95, they did the same thing. Stackhouse and them did it.
And like I said, sportsmanship goes beyond just how you treat your opponent. It goes in how you treat your teammate. And to me, I was like, well, I don't know. Did y'all discuss this as a group? You know, like I would want my name. I don't care if I was going to the league.
Maybe it was discussed.
I'm not saying it wasn't, but I'm saying, you know, just playing devil's advocate. What if that wasn't? That's not the definition of it. But at the same time, you understand they had goals in mind to win the national championship.
Right.
SEC championship was not the biggest goal in mind. I understand it. If we're talking sportsmanship, that's not it. It's so many parts. Like we always talk sportsmanship with your teammates. I can't tell you how many star athletes on the court will fuss at their teammate. Even LeBron does it. Everybody does it. Well, I don't know if I've seen any Atlanta Hawks do it, but when you get that superstar on your team and you do wrong, man, I can't tell you how many times I've seen Mario Chalmers get chewed out by his own teammate.
That's his whole career.
It's not sportsmanship, but your children see that, your teenagers see that. So what are they going to replicate?
Willie Collins Stein got fussed at.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you told me that
in that game. Yeah,
you told
teammates and the coach.
It is. I just think that sportsmanship should only be. It shouldn't be the rule of thumb. It shouldn't be shown by so much of how you do, but actually, how you play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't mind reaching out a hand to pick up the guy I just knocked over.
I tell you, man, anything I've ever been passionate about in life, I fuss. When things not right, I fuss. When things are great, I don't say too much of nothing. Whether it's sports, work life, I don't, whatever it is, I've always been like that. When we win, in the realm of sports, when I win, my team wins, you don't hear anything from me. I go to the locker room, get dressed like everybody else, and walk out. When we lose, I am pouting in the locker room. I don't care who you are. I'm going to say whatever I got to say. And if you want to fight, you know, I ain't got no choice. I'm not going to back down, but because I know, like, this one guy, he got drafted by the Mets, actually. I was a little nervous, but I was willing to do whatever I had to do because he was the best player on the team. And I was like, you ain't doing out there, you know? Like, you sitting up here being a freaking felon. You wind up going to prison, too. That's another story. But
Jesus.
Yeah, messed up his career. I remember they drafted him. They was going to season him for about 5 or 6 years, and he was going to replace Mike Piazza. That was their plan. Wow.
Next on 30 for 30.
I know, right? Yep.
That's great. I mean,
you listening, man? I'm sorry. Don't hurt me.
So to me, the pouting and the aggression after you lose, that's sore losing to me. Now, I don't find that acceptable.
You talking about Harrison? Leave Harrison alone.
I'm talking about you, too.
Let's go ahead and talk about Harrison.
My difference between Harrison, I fuss because of effort. When I was in high school, I was in ROTC, played sports. Even in my adult life, I always fuss about effort. If we all do our best, how can you feel bad about losing? Like, it'll be more so about being disappointed. Like, what Harrison did, that was just immature.
Yeah.
Like, when I saw all them getting on Willie Collins Stein on the court, and even Coach Calipari, First of all, I learned two things. Coach Calipari is not as good as an X and O coach as people think he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that a lot of those players are immature.
Yeah. Well, I'm a freshman.
Well, and Colin Stein is what, a junior?
Yeah. He's not. No.
Is sophomore?
He's a sophomore or junior. I can't remember.
He's sophomore.
Oh, that'd be interesting to know. Yeah. I think he's a junior.
Regardless of the fact.
Because I don't think he played that much in his freshman year. But go ahead.
Regardless of the fact, I get what you're saying. There's a difference. I just prefer, like, if you're going to be upset and angry, be upset and angry in your own world or within the realm of where you can make an impact, which is normally on yourself or your teammates.
That's true.
But don't expose that to other people. I have lost games, and I'm sore. I'm a sore loser, but I doubt them. I'll say good game because I mean it. When I walk off, I will chew you out for losing. I might chew myself out for losing. Like, I don't think that's a sore loser, but I think expressing it towards the public where everybody can see, I think that's when it becomes immature.
Well, I think it's not right. And what you just said is absolutely right. That's the way it should go. But most, and I'm not saying in anything I've ever did, I was a great player. So I don't want nobody to think I'm trying to say I'm a great. But when you look at the greats like Michael Jordan or Derek Jeter or any of those guys, the reason why they go off on people and do that type of stuff is because of the passion that they have. And they strive for excellence. And it's like, why am I surrounded with all these people that just striving to be good? Nobody's striving to be great. I watched this one thing where Derek Jeter, they lost. I think when they lost against the, what team that was? It was Game 7. I think it was the Diamondbacks. And they said on the plane ride, Derek Jeter was really nice, you know, to the media. You know how he is. They said on the plane ride, he ripped everybody. Everybody. Coaches, everybody, like, went off. And all he was complaining about was effort. And it seemed like people gave up because that team should have beat the Diamondbacks. It shouldn't even have went 7 games. So he probably was pissed off about that because the Yankees definitely was a more talented team of the two.
Yeah, and that's interesting because I remember hearing we were at Purdue. He's like an analyst for college sports now. Well, I think he's just an analyst, period. But he's been doing college sports lately because of the whole tournament. And they would ask him about Michael Jordan, and he was saying with Michael Jordan, his whole thing in his mind was, if you work as hard with me, you'll be just like me. Like, he didn't – and Will was like, he failed to realize, like, he was a dime a dozen of stuff that he did. But that was his attitude. So if they lost, you know, that record they end up having when, you know, they really didn't lose so many games. I can't think of the record right now.
72-10.
Right. And it was like every time they lost, Mike flipped out. Yeah. It's like everybody's looking at it like, well, they lost 10 games. But they're like, Mike always looked at it like the next game could be your last game.
Well, I will say this. That game they lost against Atlanta that year when Christian Leighton went for like 42-11, I bet he was pissed that game because – Michael Jordan was – now, I ain't just saying it because he was a hog or it was Christian Leighton because he about the only Duke player I like. He was the best player on the court that night.
I remember that game, man. Sure.
He was. I would never forget. I was glued to the TV.
But just speaking on Michael Jordan, just we as people that have grown up watching him, we're not the younger generation that watch highlights of him. We know that Michael Jordan was a jerk.
You can tell.
Yeah. We know the stories of him and Steve Kerr, him and Luke Longley, him and Tony Kukoc. Did I cover my bases? I know those three, definitely, that they got into it with, that he got into it with.
No, it's another one.
I'm pretty sure. Like, Michael Jordan was a jerk, but at the same time, he's arguably the greatest. Some people will debate that, but he... Do we remember him for his sportsmanship? No.
No.
No, we don't.
I can't think of one.
But at the same time, too, I think he hit it well on the court.
I don't.
He didn't hit it on the court.
Let me rephrase it. I think after the game.
I think the powers that be hit it for him.
Ooh, speak on that.
Because, I mean, Michael Jordan was a meal ticket, and a lot of people became either millionaires or billionaires off of Michael Jordan. And
even
they protected him. And I remember when Reggie Miller bumped him to do a screening roll for a three-pointer, and Mike lost his mind and beat up Reggie Miller.
Did he choke him?
Yeah, and who got ejected out of the game? The victim.
Right.
Mike stayed in the game, choked the heck out of that dude. Well, I remember seeing him taunt people constantly, dunking on them and stuff like that. But then if you taunt him, if you hit a good shot on him, you get a technical.
Mm-hmm.
It was always like that.
This how you know that man is covered, because they still show this commercial to this day. The fact that they put this commercial together saying Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time, and they put it in slow-mo where you see him push Brian Russell and take that shot.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here like, they saying he's the greatest, and you can't say nothing about it.
Slam dunk contest against Dominique Wilson.
Oh,
he did the same dunk twice in the slam dunk
right.
contest. I never forget that. Even though Dominique did the same dunk too, it's like, because he did the throw it off the rim windmill dunk twice, I want to say, and Jordan did that lean in dunk twice.
Right.
And the power dunk looked a whole lot better. But anyway, that's 151 and 148. It's okay. Yeah, he was just a made man, and the greatest thing is always going to be up for debate.
Right.
I do think he was the greatest of his era, and eras play a factor.
Right.
And a lot of people don't like to talk about that. Shout out to Ramsey, but a lot of people always, try to criticize. And Ramsey is probably one of the greatest trash talkers in for Home Field Advantage Sports Trash Talk page. He always says not Chamberlain. Russell is the greatest ever. But Ramsey lets you know what his standard is, because it's winning. Everyone else just look at flash and fanfare. Like, when you try to explain why Michael Jordan is the greatest, it's just flash and fanfare. And he won, too, but nobody explains themselves thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I may not agree that Bill Russell is the greatest, but I agree that he is up there.
He should be talked about.
Yeah, But I understand the criteria of different people when you tell it to me. But, yeah, Mike is just – he just was made.
Yeah.
There's no other way to put it.
So, do we say the same thing for LeBron? Because I think LeBron is a horrible person that shows sportsmanship. He's horrible at it. Horrible.
I don't think LeBron is made, not like Mike is, because if he was made, he'd have more championships. I just think he's the best – he's just the best player of his era. Because Mike was the best player of his era, but it's a difference between Mike and LeBron. Like, Mike was just made, because this dude went 6-for-6. Not saying that he wasn't supposed to do it, but sometimes the road to get there, I'm like, some of those championships he shouldn't have went there, because,
right.
Little help, little assistance from the referees and stuff like that on Tim Doherty. just crazy stuff. I mean, you can say the same thing about Kobe. I mean, look, they helped. There's no way in the world they were supposed to be Sacramento, and they did.
Don't get me started.
But anyway, I digress on that. LeBron is the best player of his era. I just don't feel like he's made, though, because they have not put him in situations. Or, I feel like this. Like, they will pull Mike into the office, low-key, put a bag on his head, walking through the back door. I don't know, whatever. So you go in, they David Stern's like, Michael, we want you to do X, Y, Z and take a low salary so we can bring in some good players around you, and we're going to get you some championships, and at the end of your career, we'll get you paid. You already make a bunch of money off the court, Negro. Be happy. So, okay, boom, he does that. I don't feel they did that with LeBron.
No.
Because LeBron was in Cleveland. Don't get me wrong, he struggled just like Mike did for many years. He actually won the championship faster than Mike. He went to school for 3 years. It's unfair. Okay, whatever. But they both struggled for many years. And they never did the same thing for LeBron. LeBron took less money a lot of times. This is the first year in his career he's the highest paid player on his team.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't think he's made yet. At least not yet.
I think he is. I think he gets away with a lot of unsportsmanlike conduct. And we ignore it because he's LeBron. And he knows.
What does he do that's so unsportsmanlike, though?
Flopping, complaining, whining, yelling at players, calling out players in the media, all of that's unsportsmanlike.
With the exception of calling out people in the media, every superstar in the modern history of the NBA has done all of that.
Oh, yeah, I ain't got no problem with that.
Oh, okay.
It's a bunch of fake. I'm going to tell you.
Especially now.
The biggest.
I feel like Kevin Durant does it. But everybody loves him.
I'm going to get y'all opinion on this. I think one of the fakest sportsmanship people out there in basketball is Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan will whine to the refs. He will whine to Coach Pop. He will complain to his teammates. I don't even remember him, like, unless he went in a championship, I don't remember seeing him converse extensively with other teams after the game.
Or to the media.
Or to the media.
But that's because they find him boring.
Yeah, that's
dude, if Tim Duncan was a lightning rod and was trying to dodge the media, oh, he'd be getting fined left and right.
Marshawn Lynch technically is boring because he ain't giving you nothing either, but you put him up.
No, you can see that if he get up there, he gonna screw up. You can see it. You can see that Negroism in him.
I think Tim Duncan is one of those guys where people will be like, yeah, act like him. But in reality, I'm like,
now Tim Duncan is cold blooded.
Yeah. That's my point. I think there's players like that. Like, I don't know if you guys see the same type in some of these players, but
I think it's every NBA superstar. I think Kevin Durant was like that. That's why everybody's so shocked. Oh, why is he being so mean?
Chris Paul has always been a jerk.
Oh, he'll tell you that, though.
Yeah.
Chris Paul will tell you that.
But if you ask the typical 12-year-old on down that watches basketball, they'll say they love Chris Paul. He's so nice. He's on State Farm. He hits people in the nuts.
But see, I remember
trying to fight JJ Redick.
I remember it was they did some little thing about Chris Paul. He talked about how he was a jerk. He talked about he's a jerk. He had the charity that he always do, the bowling charity, and he always get LeBron to go out there. It was 1 year LeBron beat him. Man, LeBron was like, good game. Chris was like, yeah. Yeah, he's like, you all right, man? He's like, yeah, I'm good.
Every
he was mad.
Every great athlete, when they're in the realm of whatever they do, you know, the football field, the baseball field, or the basketball court, they have to have a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
It's when you step out of that realm, the powers that be turn you into the hype machine, if you are worthy of it. That's the only difference, but you got to be a jerk.
Yeah, it's okay if you get kicked out of a charity game. It's okay.
Yeah, you.
Look, I didn't say no name. I'm just saying sometimes.
You're the only man I've ever met in my life that got kicked out of a charity basketball game.
I feel judged right now.
And I can tell you right now, I love you to death, man. You my brother. But I was not going to fight that big old man with you. Because I wasn't even that big at the time. I think I was like 180. I don't know what I was. But I don't know how to fight that big old dude.
Yeah, Lee, man.
Dude was prison strong.
Man, that man threw his whole body into my chest, and they called foul on me. I flung that ball clear off the court.
I don't know. You weren't there when you were shot.
I ain't get
man, that dude looked, he looked like an extra in off.
Okay. For home field advantage family, really quick story time. What we're talking about is, let's say about 7 years ago?
Mm-mm, longer than that.
Ooh.
Okay.
That
wasn't
like
10 years?
Yeah,
something like
my
that.
My kid wasn't even born.
Okay, about 10 years ago, we was in a charity basketball game where we all worked together. We were losing the game pretty decisively, and it was this one guy I had to check. Now, mind you, back then I wasn't as big. I was small. I was skinny, but I could play center because I could add some shot blocking. Man, this guy was just overpowering me. It was one play. I jumped straight in the air. He jumped straight into me. The ref was calling all kind of crazy stuff all game.
Yeah.
And he jumped straight into me, and they called a foul on me. I picked the ball up, and I threw it clear across the court. I think I tried to throw it at him. I'm not sure.
I think you did, too, because I turned away.
So kind of friends I have. But I throw the ball clear across the court. Ref, hurry up. You're out of here. I'm like, you kicking me out of a charity game? Like, mind you, it was only like, what, like maybe a minute left in the game? We was losing.
We were losing bad.
The game was done. Marlon went hitting his shot. I was the only one playing. I'm kidding. But anyway, I get kicked out of a charity basketball game. I don't think I was being a bad sportsman. I don't know. Marlon was there. Was I being a bad sportsman?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I guess you
but now because we lose, you mad because Shaq. Yeah, it doesn't hurt you.
Now, he was more like Charles Barkley. He was short, too, but he was, like,
man,
stocky.
That dude, woo. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, it was longer than 10 years ago because I think that was the day I found out I was going to be a father.
That's real. We had to drive all the way from Stone Mountain. Man,
that's funny.
I went home. It's like, guess what? You got to get a real job.
I guess we're saying that, I mean, I guess everybody has their moments. Maybe Andrew Harrison, this is your moment. I don't think so. I think the general consensus is the two immature people on that team was the two twins.
Hey, you know what?
From what I've heard.
I can see that.
Well, we're gonna get deep into the topic after we go and take some calls, so... Ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna call the last four digits of your phone number.
What phone number they calling, Mark? I mean, Jacques.
Oh.
347-215-9490. So let's get started. 1920. You are now up for discussion.
1920, you are now on with Four Home Field Advantage. What you got?
These nuts. What's up, fellas?
These nuts? Wait, my nuts are in my shorts. What is going on here?
Wrong line.
What's up,
what's
fellas?
What's going on there, Thor?
That Andrew Harrison situation, that was crazy. At least he could have said something worth getting in trouble for. Anybody tell somebody that any day.
I mean, he got in good trouble for it. Well, not enough because the coach said that he ain't going to do anything to him. I mean, ain't much you can do. You're going to go to the league.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what else been going on, Antoine? You got anything else you want to talk about, man?
I'm just calling in.
All right, man. We appreciate that call. We always appreciate that support, man.
All right.
We're gonna go to another caller. Caller 0240. That's 0240. You are now up for discussion.
What you got?
Yeah. I think they're just listening.
They're just listening, man. It's all good.
So let's go ahead and get deeper in this topic. Of course, Stephen A. Smith.
Wait, hold on. Before we move on, can I ask a question?
Okay.
You two have children. I'm going to step out of this. I don't have children that I know of.
that you know of. You,
Nicole, my wife, that is just a joke. That is just a joke. I'm just playing radio. you guys have children. I just want to know, do you teach your children to be... to have good sportsmanship, and if you do, what do you teach them to do?
Yeah. I'll let you go first.
Okay. Well, my son, I had to take him out of soccer because of his allergies. But when he was in soccer, well, a lot of people already know my son has this dyspraxia. Sometimes it comes off a certain way, but I'm not gonna sit here and lie to you. Now, I turned into my father when I'm on that field.
Oh, wow.
And anybody know the history of my father and my little brother, Darius? My father is so intense when one of his kids playing. And if Bryce would have got to the point where he could play, he's going to be like that with his grandson. Mm. And my father does crazy stuff. Yeah, he has problems with what Darius was doing. But let's say it's a kid on the team, especially basketball. If it's a kid on the team that shouldn't have the ball,
And you know, you got that one kid that's always dribbling, but don't want to pass the ball, he can't shoot. My dad's having a conniption on the bench. He is flipping out. Man, why he won't pass the ball? Pass the ball! And people got, you know, you got parents there. That one practice, I found myself turning into my father. And I turned to my father on my son. I didn't realize how bad it was until I left. Like, I blacked out.
Oh, geez.
So I can't even sit here and say, yeah. I told him, hey, you know, because my son didn't do that. The first thing he did, and he's 3 years old. Let me go ahead and throw it out there. But the first thing he did was he flirted with the girls. He didn't care about kicking that soccer ball at first. And he had a fit when it came to scrimmage because he couldn't get the ball. The good thing is after keep going after him, he was like, I'm finna go and get the ball. So by the time that third scrimmage, the boy was ready. But I turned into my father.
I don't necessarily I teach him not to I don't want him to like be fighting people and stuff like that, but okay. I teach him to compete. I found myself kind of backing off a little bit because my son he's not a natural aggressor. He's very passive when it comes to competition and stuff like that, but he's played baseball. He's 9. He'd be 10 in next month. But I found myself being jealous of him a little bit because my son was so naturally gifted at baseball. I've never seen someone who played 2 years and made a traveling all-star team the way he did. And everything he did was so effortless. But he had no competitive passion behind it. It was just like, you know, if they lose, you know. So I don't teach him to be a great sport, nor do I teach him to be a horrible sport. I just try to teach him to compete. Put boots to behind.
Okay.
It's funny that you mention it, because, see, I was the guy that was trying to calm my brother down. My brother is a pure athlete, period. But when you sit here trying to keep him focused and trying to get him to reality, you still got a whole bunch of other people. You're a star. You're going to make it. This, then, third. And then that attitude, some people, the attitude started rolling. And he was just a pure athlete. It got to the point where I was the only one saying, dude, you good, but you're not that great. Because, you know, it's other things that other people can do. But he didn't buy into that. He listened to everybody and their mama, and a lot of things happened, which, you know, he's living a different life now, which is a good life, but it was kind of crazy at one point.
I give you a good example with my son. Like, super talented, but let me give you two people. Super talented, but just wasn't aggressive, and I think that's why they didn't win the big ones in their careers. Or was a big, you know, should have been more.
Right.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Woo!
Like, that's how, like, I always thought Ken Griffey Jr. was uber talented.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I always picked Barry Bonds over Ken Griffey Jr. is because Barry Bonds had a killer instinct. Neither one-on-one championship, but they both had killer instincts. I'll give you another one. Even though we know wrestling is scripted and, you know, predetermined, but, you know, if you got the supreme talent, they're going to put you up there.
Yep.
Rob Van Dam, one of the most talented in-ring performers I ever seen in my life.
Athletic, too.
But he never became a mainstay at the top of the list because he was just like my son.
Okay, yeah, that's great.
And he showed it.
It's okay.
And he showed it.
He really did.
He did.
He showed it in the ring.
So what y'all saying is, for a lot of people to take that next step or to take their talent to the next step, sportsmanship is more than likely not a factor.
Correct. You got to be nasty. You got to want it.
And you almost have to a certain extent, you almost have to cheat.
I think you do.
Alex Rodriguez is a great example. Ultimate competitor. That's why Seattle chose him over Ken Griffey Jr., I think.
Wow.
Because A-Rod didn't mind doing whatever he got to do to be the best player on that field.
Right.
Coach Belichick.
Coach Belichick.
I'm gonna tell you how intense I got. Usually when I get intense about a sport that I play is football, because I know football is my best sport. That's when you see a different Rashard. But it was one time we were playing basketball at Run and Shoot, and that Rashard came out on that basketball court, and that never happened. It was me and Mike versus Corey. You and Corey? Marlon and Corey. And we was exchanging. Nobody was breaking. It was all net.
Yeah.
It was back and forth. That was the one time, because even when I played basketball, even when I played 21, I'm like, I'm playing. Hopefully I hit a three-pointer. Call it a day. That particular night, I felt it. After I hit that third shot, I was like, I'm going to win tonight. That was the first time that showed. Usually I show when I play football. If I'm playing pickup football, I try to be the nastiest person on their offense. Like I said, I'm not tackling nobody. But if I'm playing a wide receiver, I'm nasty. And I will get nasty. But that was the first time we played 2-on-2. And
yeah,
everybody,
I remember that.
It was shot after shot after shot.
Nobody could miss.
Nobody could miss that night. And that was the one time, like, no, we winning tonight.
Yeah.
That was the one time.
I'm someone, like, if I was a pro athlete right now and you tell me that HGH is going to help me, and I can't get caught, if I play my cards right, I will take HGH. I don't care about my sack shriveling up. I'll buy a new one.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
I'll buy a new one.
You had the man to buy another one.
I would go get me a penis and a sack off a cadaver and sew that thing on, get some blood flow, I'm good.
You're going to have sacks in big old canisters.
Brand new, never been used.
They'll be like, Mom.
Is he going to have penises and sacks?
They'll be like, why is it's two-tone? that belongs to a cadaver, baby.
Marla going to have penises and sacks sitting on the shelf like the governor in Walking Dead. Water.
Hey.
Well, when I need one, I mean, I get it. You need whatever competitive advantage. I don't think sportsmanship, by its purest form, gives you a competitive advantage. But I do think that you should teach children to respect your opponent after the game is over. There's no need to disrespect them, and that was my only problem with Andrew Harrison. You just didn't respect Kaminsky, and Kaminsky gave it to him.
Like, yeah.
He gave it, and as good as I know Towns is going to be, Towns got that work.
Towns was the one that should have been guarding him, though. It was Collin Stein on him initially.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't know if this is appropriate, but he molested Collin Stein. He really did.
Touched him inappropriately.
Man, I mean, and it was, he did some of the most slow old man type moves I've ever seen in my life.
Championship.
Yeah.
And Collin Stein was just, he couldn't block it. Like, he didn't, and he was moving fast, and dude moving slow. I didn't get it. And I understood why they were hollering at him.
Right.
The teammates and stuff. I didn't understand why Cal yelled at him. If you're gonna yell at him, help him. Like, come on, you know you're better than that. Blah 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 blah. But look, what you need to do when he's up, when he's on that post, you need to front him. Like, give him some kind of insight. He's a college athlete for a reason.
Right.
Because if he was that great, he would have went to the pros last year.
But that's like when Kaminsky went against Okafor in the championship game. It was the same. He was trying to find it. It was the craziest thing I had ever seen when he was guarding him. Because, like, you think he going over, then he's spinning around, and he going this. it was some old man moves.
I bet $100 that if we played a game going to 10 by ones, I can score at least 4 points on Okafor.
Wrong.
That boy played.
You talking about in the hole, or you just talking about just?
I'll go against him in the hole.
Okay.
I sure would. I have that much confidence in myself against Okafor.
I'm gonna tell you one thing. I seen that championship and the way Kaminsky was doing, I was like, well, I didn't understand about that championship. I know this is a little off topic. The only thing I didn't understand, when he got that man in foul trouble, and they had to take him out, why they stopped giving Kaminsky the ball? That's what I didn't understand.
I don't do rental players. I'm joking.
Oh, hell no!
That's for you, Bo Ryan.
Look, you sore loser, you. Okay,
he
looked
like the Grinch that stole Christmas, too. But I just feel like Okafor, the only reason I say I can do it, because he is the most laziest big man in that's supposed to be a star-type player on defense. His defense is almost null and void. Now I guarantee you I can get 3 to 4 points against him.
He's
going to win. I know he's going to win.
You're just saying how many points you
get. Yeah, I know I
get
the college stat. I can't score against him.
I hope that boy comes to the line.
I mean, if he dropped that, I mean, look, if we can get higher, I'll take higher.
Well, yeah, but I mean.
I'll take Trey Lyles over Collinstein.
Let's move on.
Let's go to the phone line right quick. I see a legend. I'm going to call the last four digits. 3373. That's 3373. You're now up for discussion.
Hope this ain't Okafor.
Oh, man, that's messed up. Why I got to be Okafor, fellas? Why I got to be Okafor?
I ain't never lazy with my coming, fellas,
I'm telling you, let me with your boy Okafor, you know what? At first, I was looking at it. I was kind of feeling Okafor a little bit, but I mean, as I have been noticing, I thought, well, maybe he's going to step up a little bit in the national championship. You know, I know he didn't want to get fouled out in other games, but I said, okay, maybe in the national championship he's going to step up and he's going to show that he can be a defensive beast. But man, after Kaminsky killed him, I understand why Towns is going to be number could possibly go number one. At least Towns, I can see why. That was a coaching problem. I can understand that. So I give him that. But Okafor, you can't be the flat out number one overall pick and get showed up by a dude who the only reason why he even got there is because, you know, he showed out against two big men that were probably the best in the league. So I don't know, fella. That looked kind of skeptical. I mean, maybe he got to do another pro day. Maybe he just saving up so he wouldn't get hurt. I don't know. But anyway, going on full.
Kaminsky has been cooking people all year long.
Okay.
It's us that have not paid attention.
No, I paid attention.
You hated on him.
No, I did. Now, I hated on Kaminsky. I'm not even going to lie to you. I hated on him. But this tournament. Oh, he was putting them on the grill.
You have to understand how I look at these players. I look at them from an NBA perspective. I don't look at them as, oh, they're a great college player. I look at them and see, can they play in the NBA?
Yeah. I do, too. But
he is slow.
He's slow, but he showed out in that tournament.
But you know what, fellas? This is my thing why I still believe Kaminsky can make it in the league, because here's the thing.
Yeah.
If Paul Pierce can make it for all these years, and nobody did the slowest moves than Paul Pierce. I promise you.
That's
and
true.
He does the same moves like Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce does them old man moves. He's that, no offense other than Caucasian, he's that Caucasian dude that does the robotical moves at the gym, and you be frustrated because it's he does it so fundamentally right. It's like, man, I can't even, if I touch him, I'm going to foul him. You know, he's that type too. You know, so,
and
I mean, when you look at it, his counter moves, he can go one way. You stop his left, okay, he's going to bounce back, turn around, counter, and go to the right. If he does that, if you stop that, he's going to just stop, pop, and do a jump shot. I mean, he has the moves. It's, unless you're super athletic, there's no way you're going to be able to stop it. And if you do, you're going to foul him. And, but, I mean, I think, too, once they put a little body on him and get him into the NBA, he'll have to change up a little bit. But, fellas, I forgot, what was one of the other topics I was going to come in on? I forgot
Harrison.
That quick. I'm just getting off work.
Harrison.
Harrison, right.
Stephen A. Smith.
Fellas. When you look at the global, international, the hyperbole, I'm trying to be like Stephen A. Smith, trying to use all these big words because I'm on TV. But you know what? But you know what, fellas? I mean, that is a very, I don't know. I mean, they haven't seemed to really made a big deal about it. It was ignorant. I mean, because you should have known that, hey, man, you're on TV, the mic is live. I mean, they can still hear you. All I got to say is I was telling one of my partners the other day, if that was Kaminsky and Kaminsky said the same thing, I promise you, it would have been an uproar. And we probably would have been boycotting that, too. So, you know, he still should get the same preferential treatment that Kaminsky would have got. But because he's black, he's not. Let's just be real. He's not going to get that same treatment. They're going to be like, oh, my God. He said he called him a nigger. Oh, my goodness. He said, F this dude. You know, that's all they're going to do. And in the end, if Kaminsky would have did that, you would have seen Andrew Jack. You would have seen, what's his name? With the slick back. Huh? Jesse Jackson. Al Sharpton. Right. You would see Al Sharpton down there. You would see all them folks down there boycotting the NCAA, everything. But to me, man, it's not a big deal. Okay, let's stay on it for a day. Let's keep it moving. We got more important things to worry about in sports right now. And that's all I got to say, fellas.
Hi,
right,
Killer
Cam.
Appreciate
calling in, man.
It would have been World War III, Kaminsky.
But yeah, right.
Man, let's jump right into it.
Yeah, let's just talk about it. Okay, so your boy just said, he said what he said, but you got Stephen A. Smith that decided that he want to give his little opinion on it, and we actually got the clip. So.
Ooh, did you call it little?
What?
His opinion.
Well, it is little, but, you know, I'm done. Roll the clip.
We don't want to sensationalize this, make it too big of a deal. Some unfortunate comments. Some of the Kentucky players actually didn't go in the handshake line as well. What do you make of what was said by Mr. Harrison?
Well, first of all, you don't want to say you didn't make much of it, because obviously we live in a different time, and when you utter such words, it's incredibly incendiary and inflammatory, and that's something that you simply can't do. But I think it's we're all obligated to take into account the fact that this is a young man. Particularly with young black men, this is a word that is used religiously. It's certainly not meant in the context as if it were an older white individual saying to a black individual. We live in different times. We understand that it's a level of sensitivity that needs to be brought to the situation, and it's a teachable moment for Mr. Harrison. He's a young man. He's going to learn from this mistake. He apologized for it, and I think we move forward from there because we all understand that it's not going to be absorbed in the context and in the same manner as if it came from somebody of a different culture, of a different pigmentation. And more importantly than that, you know, we live in a different time to the point where you have white individuals out there who feel like it's okay to use this word because they're hearing black individuals use those words. And again, this is not something like it's back in the 60s or 70s and the intent that people would attach to it. It's just a different time, but it's something that obviously needs to be addressed.
Well, that was his opinion. Do y'all agree with anything he said, or how do you feel about the comment?
I agree with a lot of what he said, but my problem with Stephen A. Smith on the situation is I feel as if he's starting to become a representative to speak for black people all the time. I think that he needs to speak for himself. And personally, I mean, take some of his words. You know, when I look at the totality of the situation, I think Stephen A. Smith has relegated himself to a shock jock. That's just how I feel. I think that he's, you know, it's just like when Kenny Smith, which I thought was very stupid, and I would say that on the air, and I would tell Kenny Smith to his face, I thought it was very stupid when he wrote an open letter to Charles Barkley, somebody that you worked with all the time. You could have had a private conversation like, man, Chuck, you always speaking up, whatever. But I feel like what Kenny Smith said was right to a certain extent. Because, you know, they every time something happens, they do stick a microphone in Charles Barkley's face. And you have to understand, stay in your lane. Your lane is a basketball analyst. And I don't mind, like, because Charles Barkley is my favorite player of all time. Y'all know that in basketball. But he has a lane that he needs to stay in. You know, or if you're not going to stay in that lane, speak from your perspective. Stephen A. Smith, your job is to talk about all things sports. Yes, this kind of went, you know, outside of sports a little bit, but it still was like, you know, like around 285, you know, going around. It was in, you know, anyway. You got to stay within sports. Stop for all the African Americans. And I have an issue with that. Because I don't always agree with everything you say.
Right.
Just like, I know you guys disagree with me, but like the last time he should have been suspended for saying what he said about the dang on brothers on the street. and his suspension should have been because he's ignorant. You worked somewhere for 17 years and you have no insight and you want to talk about some Negroes on the street?
And the Rob Parker Award goes to...
Like, stop speaking. If you don't speak on don't speak for the brother on the street. Speak from your sources.
Oh man, I don't have anything much to say after that.
Ignorant.
I totally agree with him. The one thing I have a problem with is people calling Harrison racist. Harrison's black. And last time I checked, Kaminsky, white. There's a lot of things that they could have, he could have called Kaminsky to be racist. Excuse the term, but nigga's not one of them. So, I don't get that part, and I totally agree with him. It's a different viewpoint of what that word means, but. Speak, as Marla said, speak on your own personal recognizance.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Speak just for yourself, and this is how I view it. You don't speak for me, Stephen A.
No.
Because you call out black people too much, but it's... Never mind. I ain't even going to get into that. All I got to say is he was right about what he said. It would be different if Kaminsky said that about Harrison.
Oh, that would have been must-see TV,
right,
though.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie.
But here's my thing.
I would have woke up like,
If Kaminsky said about Harrison, you know, what do you think about the Harrison, or one of the Harrison twins, and he said, man, F that cracker. We would have the same reaction. Like, it'd just be funny, and it'd be stupid.
He's like, nah, I said I want some crackers.
Man, that's a vine.
Bring him up here.
You know.
That's a vine. That's a world star.
Like Stephen A. said, there is a difference. People need to accept the difference. It's the truth nobody says. The people that are calling Harrison racist or saying that he's racist, making racist comments are the people who are not allowed to say the word.
Mm.
Just plain and simple.
Yeah. Well, because they want equality. They want to be able to say
right.
it freely, too.
Right. Mm. If you say it, I should say it. Listen, we as a black community have not figured out the logistics of this word. We all have our own viewpoint of it.
Yeah.
And we ain't on the same page.
Nope.
The one page we are on, you cannot say it.
That is
right. Am I wrong?
That is true.
We have so many viewpoints on this word. But the one thing we all agree on is you can't say it. Just accept that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of words that I can't say. And I just accept it. Just accept it. He was just being stupid and childish. And trust me, he was not saying, I'm going to call Kaminsky, oh, nigger. There's no malicious intent behind it.
Well, I also want people to stop blaming, you know, stop using as an excuse. Oh, he's only 19 years old.
I was just
let me tell you something. When you get to college basketball, by the time you've been playing college basketball, you have been in front of thousands upon thousands of people playing for at least 5 or 6, 7 years maybe.
Right, right.
That's number one. And number two, you have done some interviews in front of media if you're on the level that Harrison is on, like high school and, you know, because I don't think he's that great of a college player, neither one of them.
Yeah.
You know, I think that their daddy's sperm is just C-plus players. That's just how I feel.
Oh.
I don't think those kids. Now, I will give the one that said, you know, F that in, I give him the credit that he's not afraid to take a shot.
Yeah.
That's all I would say about it. I don't think they're really that good.
That's why they lost to Wisconsin.
As far as in the NBA. Because like I always say, I grade kids based off of do I think you can play in the league. I don't even think they are rotational players.
Hmm. I mean, when it comes to Stephen A. Smith, like, you know, even though he almost called LeBron a ninja, I do agree with what he just said. But
yeah, I would call him somebody one.
But I was going to go that route, too, about his age. Like, to me, it's getting to the point where it's always he's young. And I'm sitting here like, when you're in college, you're an adult.
No.
I don't get that part. I'm sorry.
It's different level. Like, I'm going to give you an example. This is my personal opinion. I'm speaking for me. Stuff like that, you know right from wrong with that type of stuff. You know he had no business saying that.
Right.
Or let's say, like, aesthetically. You know, if you want to believe Jameis Winston's story about the crab legs, oh, it was in my cart. That's him being immature. You know what I mean? Like, that right there is like, that's a young kid, probably don't buy a lot of groceries all the time. He just walked out with it. If his story is true, I don't buy his story. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a difference. Like, oh, I forgot. I meant to pay for this. And then they brought him back. It ain't like they tracked him down and went to the house. He just brought it back.
Right.
But that was just blatant immaturity, what Harrison did.
I put it like this. I do accept part of that reasoning that he was young. Because when I think of when I was 19, I did a whole lot of stupid stuff.
But Mike, you're not sitting down in front of hundreds of cameras and microphones. Or you're not, I mean, like, we always done stupid stuff when we were young, but I'm going to tell you something I did. Playing baseball, I played left field one day. This is high school. Played left field. It was this girl. I didn't know her, didn't know anything about her. She heckled the mess out of me. I don't even know who she was. So she kept talking and kept talking. And somebody on the other team, they got a hit. I robbed them. I looked over at the girl, shot a bird at her, and walked back to my bench. Nothing happened to me. And I think I called her a B, too. Nothing happened to me. But if somebody would have seen that, I would have got in trouble. And I knew what I did was wrong. I lost my cool. And I know that was wrong. You know, I was 16. I mean, like, I knew, 16 or 17, I knew what I did was wrong.
But I guess that's my thing. Like, they keep pushing this whole, he's young. You are on a undefeated team, which means them cameras was constantly on you that whole time you was on the undefeated team. And he came from a high school where they got the spotlight. So I'm not understanding. I can't accept the excuse that he's 19, 20 years old. And, you know, he let that happen. I can't.
I disagree because
I can't.
I buy more so of him being emotionally distraught after screwing up a historical run as opposed to him being 19.
I get that, too. I get both of those. But here's my point about him being young. I know what I was doing at a young age, and I did some dumb stuff, even some stuff where I know I could have been caught doing.
Yeah, cause I'll write though.
This is true. This is very true. So I can't come down on him and be like, you should have known. Because we're treating it as though he said it into the microphone.
He did.
He tried to cover his mouth and say it off to the side. Granted, as stupid as it was and unacceptable as it was, that's what he did. He did not get in the microphone like when they asked for F that in. He didn't do that.
Goodbye.
He didn't.
That's how he did it.
I just disagree. I think that you do have to look at them and say, man, these are kids. But regardless, it's unacceptable, but I understood.
Goodbye.
That's all it was. It was unacceptable, but I understood.
All right, let's, you know, it's around that time in a way. 48 Media, right?
Yeah, they're the sponsors of For the People's Sake.
Let's go.
Calling all independent and unsigned artists, producers, DJs, models, and photographers. Do you want to gain more exposure? Need to build a buzz? Then check out 48 Media and submit to be featured on 48media.com. Send your request to info@48media.com. That's F-O-U-R, the number 8, media.com. You can also find 48 Media on Facebook and Twitter. Just search the number 4, E-I-G-H-T, Media. 48 Media.
Thank you, Nathan. That is 48 Media. Also by Sidwell. Nah, I never said Chuck.
I thought his name was
Chuck. No. Well, you know, he got many names. Let's go ahead and get started. So, Princeton.
My name is Chuck, and I've been naming Rufus for a year.
Princeton asked, how hard has playing defense in the NBA, I mean, NFL, become?
Supremely.
Oh, it's so difficult. I'm going to tell you, and I like the wide receivers that were drafted last year, but it's become so difficult to play defense that you had, was it 3 wide receivers that went over 1,000 yards and nearly 4?
Ooh.
Or it was 2, and I think Sammy Watkins had 998, and then you had some people over 500. That's how difficult it's become. Can't put your hands on nobody. You can't tack them to the ground too hard. You can't pull them down. You can't touch them. You can't do nothing.
Can't even talk to them.
Oh, and you can't hit them if they're not looking.
That's why with Luke Kuechly and certain, you know, just various little NFL players and stuff they do, that's amazing to me.
What you mean?
That they still perform at that high level.
Oh.
You know, because of the rules. That's greatness.
But Kuechly gets a lot of penalties.
Yeah,
he
does.
A lot of them when he gets into coverage. But a lot of them is like 10 years ago, that was normal.
Yep.
It was normal, simple hand checking. So it's become ridiculously difficult. And I wonder if they're going to implement any kind of rules to offset. I don't think they will because they want the score. They want the scoring to be up. But it's become ridiculous. You can't even, I mean, if you sack them too hard, they touch the flag. Like, it's bad. Yeah. It's almost unbearable sometimes.
Their hand is on the flag at this point. They just holding it. Forget having it in the holster. It's just in their hand at this point.
I still remember, just really quick, I know we got short on time. We got more questions. A lot of people blame that San Francisco versus Atlanta game on Atlanta not being able to convert in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the one time our defense decided to step up, I think that was Cliff Matthews. He nearly sacked Kaepernick. We're just not getting pressure on this man. He taps his helmet. They throw a flag.
Yep.
I'll never forget that in my life. That gave them another first down, and well, the rest is history. I'll leave it at that.
All right, let's move on. Cam got a question. Actually, I think it's a two-part question. The first one is, does upping the age as far as entering the NBA matter with the loophole going overseas and making money for a couple of years, then coming to the NBA draft, like, you know, Brandon Jennings?
Well, Brandon Jennings was miserable overseas. I mean, he got paid, but he was miserable. I really think they should just let these kids in. But I think what they should do is bring in some kind of evaluation to let you know exactly where you're going to stand. You are pegged to probably be the 42nd pick or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, let them really know. Because a lot of these kids get gassed up by agents.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. You know, they be like, man, my agent lied. I'm Will Avery.
It's,
I'm sorry, Will Avery.
He's just digging at Will Avery. I will say this. I am a person that thinks that they should be 2 years removed from school. And the reason being is because the NBA is almost as unbearable as NFL defense right now. To watch these young kids come in the league and stink up the joint because they can't shoot and they turn the ball over and they take yellow threes.
And their bodies are small.
Yeah, and they can't set a screen.
Yeah.
Like, it's getting ridiculous. So I think it will have an impact If they do make it to 2 years, and if you decide to go overseas for 2 years, feel free. But you need to learn how to play the game before you come over here to the NBA.
That helped Brandon Jennings, but he said he was miserable.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised that he is. I think more people would be. I mean, but get your money if you want to do that. I don't care, because I don't care about the NCAA and all that. They need their players. Who cares? I just want the final product when you come over to the NBA that we ain't got to train you for another 3 years.
And actually, we end up answering the second question, which is, does upping the 2 year, you know, the 2 year limit makes a difference as far as the talent pool? And we pretty much just said that,
yes. Imagine DeMar DeRozan had he stayed that extra year,
UCLA,
and actually
got his eyes straight.
And that ain't never
happened. That's part of his game.
If God ain't changed it, it ain't happened.
Which way he going, Coach?
But I mean, think about it now. When you watch him now, he knows how to hit the mid-range shot. He knows how to stop and pop. He knows how to hit his wide-open threes. He knows how to create his own shot off the wing. He couldn't do none of that when he came in.
Couldn't do nothing but dunk. But shout-out to their coach and the organization for being patient with the coach, letting him teach a lot of these young guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, look at Kaminsky. Kaminsky is going to come in and be able to contribute to an NBA team. I'm not saying he's going to be a starter. He's going to be able to contribute to an NBA team as a rotational guy. But for the first 2 years in Wisconsin, he didn't play.
No, he didn't.
So, there you go.
You know what? If he can get a jump shot, if he, like, he
did
has
you just
a,
say if,
no, let me finish. He has a jump shot. But he's a good shooter. But if he can turn into a dirt shooter, he'll start.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's one thing.
I just think he's going to grow into Brad Miller, which ain't a horrible thing.
I think he can become dirt
like
on
Brad
the high
Miller.
End.
That's funny that you said that, because that's what a lot of people are saying.
I say on the high end.
Yeah.
Very high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lofty. Lofty, I know.
Yes, lofty end.
Okay, Chad got a question. He said, would Kaminsky be successful during the Wooden era? And Shishetsky, Coach K.
Yeah.
Would he be successful during the Wooden's era, or wouldn't have been as successful as he was in the shot clock 3-point era?
I'm
going to go ahead and speak for Coach K, the champion Coach K, I think he would be successful, but not as successful. I think a lot of Coach K's success has come because he can recruit so well. But at the same time, too, it's like, how would Coach K fare if he actually kept some players around for 3 years and able to develop them? You know, we've seen some good indications of college basketball players. They suck in the league, but I think he'll be successful, but not as successful.
I think that Coach K would be – I think he would be a good coach, but I think that John Wooden would still be a great coach in this era. Because from the stories I have read and heard about him, he relates to his players so much that, like, today's players would be like, oh, man, this is my guy. I mean, like he used to talk to Bill Walton while Bill Walton was smoking weed. You know? Like, how many coaches can you sit down in front of and you smoking weed and they just chilling with you? Getting contact. You know what I mean? Like, if he relate, I mean, you know, the regulations and rules are different now, but I mean, I think that he would adapt, and he was an excellent teacher, because you can go back and watch some of those old school games. I didn't really watch the Walter era, and that was supposed to be in the better era. I watched, like, some of the Lou Alcindor tapes. The team was so precise. Every player, when he was on the court, was very precise. So I think he would still be as successful. He wouldn't have 10 championships, though. That's just hard, because
it's hard.
A gazillion schools now.
Yeah.
And every so often, the Bo Ryan going to pop up.
We don't do one-year rentals. You're a mean one.
It's an ugly man. I'm so sorry.
Let's move on.
Okay, so. I apologize, Bo.
Mike actually had a question. His question is, what is your favorite wrestling intro?
Yeah, we were talking about this before the show, and I have to say that Goldberg and how he continued to reinvent one of the most boring intros. Because at first I was like, he's boring. Like, why is he doing all these MMA moves? But then he started to breathe in the smoke and blow it out. And then the sparks got bigger. And the music was so heart-pumping.
Yeah.
I was like, man. Goldberg was up there, second to my second presence in Y2J. That was just a fun intro.
My favorite intro was Stone Cold Steve Austin. But I do have a quick story. I went to the Royal Rumble many years ago when it came down here. Kurt Angle was fighting The Rock in the World Championship match. And I had to go to the bathroom. And this line was enormous. And I hadn't seen The Rock live before. So I saw his interest quite a few times. So I was like, okay, you know, I had a game plan.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the bathroom. The line was so long. And Kurt Angle came out. I can hear nobody really ran to go see him. And as soon as that music said, "Hit the smell!" You just seen all these people run. I mean, it was crazy. It was like bulls, like the bull thing when the people running with the bulls. And this one guy, he zipped his penis up in his pants.
Oh, Jesus.
Something about Mary. And he's running, trying to unzip his penis, and he was turning purple because I could see the whole thing. And I was just like dying laughing. I was dying laughing, and I walked right to a stall and used the bathroom. So I thought that was pretty cool for his interest to generate that much excitement.
How'd you get the beans over the weenies?
Man. Purple. I'd never forget that.
I'm going to say one of my favorite, one of my favorites got to be, and I remember when he first started this intro and nobody liked it at first, is when Diamond Dallas Page did the whole self high five. And I remember when he first started, people didn't get too excited. And then when, I think people started buying DDP, but I think once the NWO tried to recruit him, and he was like, I'm not going to be with y'all because I should have been number one draft pick. That's when everybody went crazy. And then, of course, eventually he had his wife out there, and she did her little pretty diamond cup symbol and all that stuff. But what I really like about it, it starts self-high five. And everybody looking at the stage, but this fool is coming out the crowd.
Yeah.
Like, he did all kind of intros.
Yeah.
So, plus, I'm a big fan of DDP.
Hey, before you move on, though, you got to give an honorable mention to this tag team.
Oh, you didn't know?
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
That
you
was a good
better
one.
Call somebody.
Classic.
Yeah, that was a real good one.
Yeah, that was good.
We did some good questions.
Yeah, it was pretty good today.
So it's about that time. Final four thoughts. Who would like to go first?
I would like to start. This is in reference to the recent shooting in Charleston, Carolina. I heard the congresswoman get on TV and say everything was calm when this man was arrested and charged with murder. But here come the protesters riling up the community. Ma'am, nobody should get content with charge of murder. That's not an indictment. That's not a conviction. He ain't guilty. So don't come to me telling me why I should be excited about why somebody got a charge on their record. Hit me up when this man goes to jail. Hit me up when this man has to deal with the embarrassment of what he did. Other than that, you allow them protesters to do what they do. And you quit being a sellout, chump.
Ooh, bang! I won't speak on the recent transactions that the Atlanta Braves have made. John Hart, I love you. You're the most amazing general manager I've ever seen in the history of sports. Anybody that can trade B.J. Upton's contract, 3 years of $75.53 million still left on it, and you traded that, a man that batted 180-something, and you traded that. That is the most amazing thing I have seen in many years in sports. He needs to have sex with somebody's wife because he deserves it. That man can walk on water. He was walking next to Jesus. Anybody that can trade a contract like that. And people don't get so mad about Craig Kimbrell. If your team gonna suck, you don't need a closer, okay? And besides, last year was a little shaky for him, and he's also losing it a little bit, and he wants $12 million when he comes out of his out of this current contract. Keep calm, relax, listen to Josh Groban. You'll be fine.
All right. Well, since hip hop and sports go hand in hand, we always talk about that. I would like to talk about what happened in Tallahassee, Florida.
Uh-oh.
So, let's go ahead and talk about it. Everybody's coming to see who? Plies. The guy that always on Instagram doing all the ratchet stuff.
Sad.
Talking about what he wants. And he comes in the building. Everybody's excited. And he said, hey, I need to get to that stage. So, you know what? What they call that thing where they just carried him to the stage? He being carried by people. They just pass him along so he can get to the stage. Get on stage. He talked to security, grabbed the microphone, he got to talking, and this fan popped out of nowhere, which was already on stage. Like, what's up, man? You know, gave him that, whatever. So I gave him that, said, hey, man, you know, he's trying to do his show. And the fan just kept standing there. Like, he wouldn't move. And Plies was like, hey, man, you know, we two men now. We don't need to be all close up on each other. And, you know, he kept talking, all of a sudden we started hearing Coles saying, color money. Now, a lot of people say color money is for the crew that the guy was a part of. I don't know. I'm not too much buying that. That's the information I'm going to look for. For me, color money means security. So he kept saying, color money.
You talking about Plies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Color money. And security was over there. They got over there for a little, but they ain't do nothing. They didn't move the man. And eventually what happened is the man picked up Plies, and yes, he's like 5'5". He's not that big. Picked him up. And he slammed him on top of a couple of goons and Bessel babies.
Suplex City.
Yes, now that was a suplex city.
It was.
Here's my thing about this. One, if they were prior security, then he'd be fired. Two, if they were security of the club and they supposed to be protecting them, they didn't do a good job. And three, where's his goons? I don't understand
now, rumor is there's a second view that camera angle that said Plies beat the heck out of
yeah,
dude.
And I seen it. And it's true.
Okay.
They landed actually when Plies got slammed. Somehow, when he got slammed, he kind of turned the guy in, I guess, midair.
Yeah.
They landed on a gate and Plies just, wow!
Wow.
And they flipped over the gate. Now, yeah, he beat the brace off on him. I'm just trying to figure out.
It should have never happened.
I
mean, they treated Plies like Steve France.
Drunk and little.
But, and I'm a franchise like they used to work.
I bet Jay-Z was like, can we re-record that?
The thing that what tripped me out is everybody was waiting for a reply from Plies, because the guy actually did a video later on that night running his mouth talking about he was just threatening me. People waiting on Plies. You know what Plies did? He went back to Instagram. And he did his ratchet videos like he always do, like ain't nothing ever happened. He kept moving. That's all I got to say. He got souffle. That was nasty. Anyway, you can check us out. Go to our Facebook page. My Home Field Advantage Trash Talking for Home Field Advantage Trash Talk. You also check us out on Twitter, the number 4, HF Advantage. Check us out every Wednesday. The Kings of the 7 o'clock spot. Out for discussion. We're going to check y'all out next week.
Suplex City!
Color money!
Bye. Thanks, all of us.